And Donner, would you come up and share what you was telling me about? We've got some testimonies from Donner. Hallelujah. And if you don't know, if you're a visitor, Donner is Pastor Dave's sister. Glory to God. You know, so tell the testimonies, preach, cast out devils, heal the sick, just do whatever.
All righty, all in a day's work.
There's a Bible if you need it. Go ahead.
Father, I just thank you for all the good things you're doing. Most of you that follow what I do know that I've been in North Carolina and in Minnesota. I just got home. I forgot when I got home. Late last Tuesday night. Days kind of merge. But the miracles have been phenomenal. How many of you remember that Sunday when His presence came so strong and just started sharing the love of God and people getting healed and everything? Well, that happened in North Carolina too. It also happened in Minnesota. But in the meantime, restless leg syndrome got healed, which there's no known cure that we know of. They've just now found a medication that helps ease it. And I did an alignment on one lady where her hands come up, but another lady come up and told me, she said, "No, my bone is shorter. I need my leg to grow out." It's the bone, and it grew out 1/4 inch. Thank you, Jesus. Backs, people were coming up and telling me their migraines were healed, that their backs were being restored. But the greatest one still is people that were so hurt and devastated in churches and different places come up wanting to restore and renew their walk with Jesus. Isn't that awesome? People were coming up and saying, I have never felt so much love and peace in my entire life, ever. So I know we're entering into a new place in Him. Authority, I understood it more than most people, I guess, before, because having been a witch, I understand how the enemy operates. I know I used to send them out. And they accomplish it a whole lot quicker than Christians sending stuff out, usually because Christians become unstable and double-minded. Devil knows he's mean. He's single-minded about it. But when Jesus did appear to me, I understood that He had more authority than the devil. So I guess I got a real good revelation of that before I got born again. And so it was enough to freak me out and run and destroy everything I had to do with witchcraft. The biggest place the enemy gets us is in our mind, becoming unstable or double-minded. And we need to strengthen ourselves in the days that are coming, because although we're entering into a new place where you just worship and people start getting healed, the enemy's at work too. He's very diligent. And he's not a respecter of persons either. If none of you have noticed, he kills babies. So I want to encourage all of you this morning to keep worshiping, to keep praying, to keep seeking him. Because the miracles are just becoming phenomenal to where didn't even call a prayer line. For the most part. I mean, the Lord had me praying and ministering to different people. And in Minnesota, it was the same thing. People are in so much bondage to law. One lady cornered me later and she said, "You said we're not under law. God would bless us whether we gave to you or not." She said, "I've never heard that before." And I said, "He loves you." And I said, "Why would He withhold anything you need because you didn't give me your 10%? And I said, "And if you're under the law and that really works, how come the diligent tithers are going home early? They're living in poverty. How come? None of us should be broke. None of us. Well, I don't plan on staying where I'm at. And I'm not under the law. I'll lay hands on people, tattoos and all." But the good news is people are wanting. They're hungry. They're wanting more. And people still kept coming up to me in Minnesota saying the same thing they said in North Carolina. "I've never felt so much peace. I had a migraine and it's gone. And I prayed for a lady last year that had a thyroid problem. She came up and told me this time in North Carolina that she lost 35 pounds. God's good. And what's important to you really is important to Him. He loves you. So if you think the only thing He really doesn't like is when we're mean and we still keep that capacity to destroy other people, I don't think He'll ever honor that. I know, you know, some people say, well, the cup's half full, and the other one will say it's half empty. You can't stay mean if you're doing and worshiping and loving on Him. And if you are staying mean, go find somebody that can cast that devil out of you. Amen. Don't be legalistic about everything, because when you are, you're putting God in a box. Otherwise, He would have never come. Because I've been divorced, I've been in witchcraft, and I wear JCPenney suits. So love on Him. Develop your relationship with Him. And He'll show up. He will absolutely show up. Amen? So Father, right now I'm asking You to bless Your people. Restore them back to You in every area in their lives, spirit, soul, and body. Bless them. Lord, I thank You for blessing them today. In Jesus' name, amen. Gary, you still have to preach.
Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Give Donna a hand. We want to hear your testimony. Come up here a minute. Tell us what all happened that day. Hallelujah. Look at this. Look at this.
Hallelujah. I was healed last Sunday. I was in a car wreck April 22nd. Me and my mom, I had her with me. And the band I'm in, we was playing out at Sand Springs. And my mom and my two aunts was there. And anyway, she went on ahead and she ran on home with them. And I picked her up after we got through playing. Anyway, I was, you know, we was talking about the good service we had and what the band was doing and everything, just praising the Lord, you know, and talk about one thing and another. Next thing I knew, you know, Randy, boom, and it was too late. But we felt God's hand on us, and right after the wreck, I believe it was an angel. I heard a voice speaking to my mom saying, "Thou shalt live and not die." But I couldn't, you know, I couldn't see the person. But I asked Mom, I said, "Mom, I said, did you see who was talking to you?" She said, "I didn't see her face, but she said, I kind of, from the corner of her eye," she said, "I saw that she was tall and had long, blonde, curly hair. But I believe that was an angel speaking the word over her, saying, thou shalt live and not die." Well, anyway, I was healed here last Sunday. I came in walking on this cane, and I tell you what, just 2 days before, it was unbearable. I was walking down the hallway, and I was leaning way back like this. Just, I tell you what, God is good. God is a good God, and my mother is doing wonderful. And I expect her to be completely whole in just a matter of time. I tell you, God is good. I appreciate what God has been doing in my life since I've been coming here to this church. I was raised real strict. You know, Pentecostal, you can't wear a short-sleeve shirt. You can't have long hair. You can't do this. You can't do that. But I tell you what, I was set free when I started coming here. And I've read that book, let me borrow that book by Brother Dave one time, and I read it like in 2 days. And then Red went on ahead and gave me that book. And I tell you what, that book, every time I read it, I'm just so amazed. But I think God, that I come to this church and the teachings that, oh man, it's powerful. And I'm set free. I am healed. I am healed. And I don't need this cane. And it might make a good pool stick, maybe, but I don't need it. Thank you, Brother Gary.
Plus, I like his taste in shirts.
Oh, that's pretty
yeah,
cool.
Yeah, it's pretty close, you know. Okay, anyway. Hallelujah. How many of you know that obedience is better than sacrifice? Richard, you need to give your testimony about how you were raised from the dead. That's all right. I get this shorter notice too sometimes. And if you both need to tell it, that's okay too. However y'all want to do it. I'm just going to obey God whether it hair lips the devil. I don't care.
Hallelujah. Y'all,
doesn't Richard look good for a man that died?
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord. Oh, I tell you, I just give God the honor and I give Him the glory. If it hadn't been for the Lord, I wouldn't be here today, as you can see. 1998. this is a version y'all haven't heard about. I'm going to tell you my side of the story, because normally my wife, she has her version, because she was there, okay? And I was unconscious. I didn't know what was going on. But I want to go back to when I was in the religion, and I was in this organization, and this organization was kind of getting me ready, getting me prepared to become a leader. And I was so excited about it. I think when I first started off, when I was about maybe 17, 18, and I walked up to the president and I told the president, you know, I was bold. I said, you know, I want to be the president one day. He looked at me. He said, okay. You know, in front of all, it was a lot of people. And I said, I want to be the president one day. And he said, okay, well, we're going to have to work with you a little bit. So he kind of got me together. And about 20 years went by, and I was still in this organization, and I was getting myself ready and prepared and groomed, and they were giving me good instructions. And I thought I was ready. So the president, he left. Somebody else took the organization over. And they left. And it was my time. They said, well, Richard, we think you're ready. And I was ready. And I thought I was getting myself all ready and prepared to take over these. It was a group of, it was an organization, a major usher organization. Had a lot of ushers and stuff. And so I said, I think I'm ready. And I talked to my wife. My wife really, she, a part of her was for it and a part of her wasn't for it, because the Lord was taking her in another direction. And it was like we was going in two different directions. And here the whole time God was speaking to me about some things, but I really wasn't listening. But He was speaking to my wife, and she felt that we should be coming to Oklahoma. And I said, Oklahoma? I says, Oklahoma, I don't think it's part of the program right now. I says, now I've been training for 20 years. And I was born in this organization. And I don't mean no harm. Not only was I born in it, I'm going to die in it. And I said, okay. Now, I didn't really realize what I was saying. But you have what you say. So you better watch what you say. Watch what you say. So I was getting ready to. The first 6 months came up, and I did an intern for 6 months. And I was excited. And I felt good. And I went all over all different parts of the country and was getting all the people together, because it was like a big division. And they said, Richard, it's your responsibility. You got to bring all these people together. And so I started. And so we started all coming together. For the first 6 months, everything was successful. The Lord was coming by. It seemed like He was touching the people. They were getting blessed, getting filled with the Holy Ghost. There was even some healings and stuff was coming. All that was happening in the service. So, okay, 6 months went by. Then I think it was 1998 was when the incident happened. Okay, but right before that, my wife said, you know, I really feel within my spirit that God wants us to go to Oklahoma. And I'm still rebelling. I'm not accepting. I'm not listening to what she was saying. I'm not listening to what the Holy Ghost was saying. And the Holy Ghost was dealing with me foremost. But I had this thing in my mind that I'm going to be a national president. I'm going to be the leader. I'm going to lead these people, and I'm going to get things together. And there's going to be organization, and I'm going to be the number one man. Okay? Because I've trained for 20 years, and I'm ready for this. And I'm getting ready. But little did I know, at that time I kept myself so busy. I wasn't praying like I should have been. I wasn't fasting like I should have been. And I wasn't doing some things that I know that I should have been doing. Not only as a leader, but as a man of God. I should have kept myself busy. You know, I mean, busy as far as doing the work, doing the ministry. Okay, praying and fasting, doing those spiritual things that's necessary. Now this time, I really believe this. I believe that because of my disobedience, this is the reason why this happened. I opened the door. I opened the door for the enemy to come in and to attack me. And as Gareth was saying, with my testimony, yes, I died. I died. But thanks be to God. Thanks to heaven. Thank you, Jesus. My wife, with her tenacity, her continual fighting and not giving up. And as I was laying there that night, she says, my husband is not going to die. He's going to live. He's going to declare the work of the Lord. And I'm here. I'm going through all of this and not knowing what was happening. But because of her ability to hang in there and trust God. See, she was getting training. And where was she getting training at? She was getting training right here in Oklahoma. Thank you, Jesus. I'm serious. Saints, I am really serious about this. She was getting training how to stand in the gap for somebody, for a hard-headed person like me. And saints, I'm serious. I was hard-headed. But to make a long story short, I'm so glad today. And because of this, God is taking me places that I've never been. He's taking me and my wife places that we've never been. And just by staying before God and this, by constantly praying and fasting and doing the word, assimilating the word, Pastor David would give me assignments and I'd work on those assignments. He said, do Romans, do John, do Proverbs, do what it takes to bring about change. See, not only did I die and God used my wife to raise me up again, but see, I had some other situations too that occurred in my life. Okay. And as I was doing the message, God was strengthening me, giving me the ability to trust him. And as I was trusting him, he was just changing. He was changing my life. He was changing not only my life, he was changing my wife's life. He was making things. There were times when we were in debt, not just thousands of dollars, but hundreds of thousands of dollars. And as we continued to do the message, the Lord, with that good counsel, I had very good counsel. Gary, Tim, Pastor Dave, Mother Daisy, other people were giving us good. Mary was giving us good counsel. Good counsel. And as we did it, God started bringing us out of debt. Hundreds of thousands of dollars. Making bad decisions in religion. But I thank God that because of the obedience and following the instructions of leadership, I am what I am today. And I want y'all to continue to pray for my wife and I. We've got a long ways to go. But there's not anything that the devil can do to us now to stop us. Because we're on a trip. And believe you not, we're going to win. We are going to win. So I want y'all to continue to pray for us. Because what the enemy thought he had us, but we got away. And now we're into truth. And I thank God for it. And I want y'all to continue to pray for us in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Okay, I'm going to give my testimony just for a moment about disobedience. See, because apparently the Lord's, it's probably the person sitting next to you. It's probably not the Lord dealing with you. I know. But obedience is better than sacrifice. And you can even bring whole offerings to the Lord. You can't buy your way out of obedience with bigger offerings. And you can't buy your way out of obedience with perfect church attendance or anything else. When we began coming here in 1992, Sue and I had been saved and Spirit-filled since 1980. So we had 12 years. And I'm just going to talk about the real disobedience part. We started hearing the message for the first time. And I'd never heard anything like that. I don't think Sue had either. It was so far, so foreign to our minds. We'd hear Dave teach. We'd come and listen to the service. And he'd be so, if you ever noticed, he gets out there a little bit, you know. And we'd be on the way home, driving home, and I'd look at Sue and I'd say, "Are you better? You feel better?" She'd go, "Yeah, but I don't know why." I go, "Me either." We'd have to listen to those tapes and pray until we, you know, understand. We've never heard these things, but it took me especially, I was real skeptical. For 6 months, I didn't start really doing the message, but I devoured the message. Sue would get the tapes. I was still in the trucks driving long haul, gone most of the time, but she would get the tapes. And then I'd take them with me and I'd listen to them again and again. And I couldn't find anything wrong with the message. I had been so burned in my life by well-meaning preachers who didn't really intend to hurt me, but they did anyway, because they taught me stuff that just wasn't true. So I was real skeptical, and I said, well, my motto in those days, and probably still is, I don't care what, Dave, you seem like a nice fellow. I didn't tell him this. He didn't know our name for about 4 years, so, you know. Maybe longer than that, I don't know. It might have been 6 years, but anyway, Dave, you seem like a nice fella. You don't seem like you'd lie to me, but you got to understand, I've been burned by a lot of well-meaning preachers. So you're a nice guy. I'm going to listen to what you say, but listen to me. It's not scripture, no matter what you say. It's not scripture until I find it. And I dissected those messages. The way my job was, I'd deliver those trucks, and that's when I'd listen to the tapes over and over. But then once I delivered the trucks, they would fly us back to Oklahoma to get the next set of trucks. So I had a lot of time in airports. If you do a lot of flying, I know you do a lot of flying. You spend a lot of time in airports, no matter the best laid plans. So in the airports, then I'd have my Bible, and as I'd listen to the tapes going out, I'd scratch down little notes on certain verses that Dave would teach on. Then later on in the airports, I'd check them out. Well, after about 6 months, then I was convinced that I couldn't find anything wrong with the message. I told Sue, I said, I can't find anything. I mean, everything he says, he's not taking verses out of context. I mean, it fits the whole picture. I said, you know, this might be right. I mean, so in December of 1992, we started in June, and sometime in December of 1992, golly, it's been a while. That's when I made that covenant with the Lord. I said, Lord, I'm stuck in the cab of this truck. 50, 60, 70 hours a week anyway. I'm going to turn off the CB radio. I'm going to turn off the regular radio. Lord, if I'm in the cab of this truck, I'm just going to make it my prayer closet. And you're going to find me praying. Well, it took a little while for me to get into, you know, my mind would drift. I'd start off praying fine. My mind would drift and realize, I would kind of come to myself, realize I wasn't praying. Well, there's nothing you can do but say, oops, and get back to prayer. I mean, you know, just don't give up. Long story short, that began the process. Well, at first it was just revelation knowledge. It was just, he began, I remember I've told you about the first little vision I began to have about the man on the horizon who had to learn how to receive by faith that which had been freely given by grace. God gave me a vision to really help me understand faith. Then it would be certain, I remember the first time I just heard these words, it wasn't a vision, I just heard it. It says, well, it's almost word for word now. He said, Israel was not delivered from Pharaoh by the law, for the law had not yet been given. That was a great revelation to me. See, Moses is not a type of the law, not really. That deliverance is a type of Christ. God did all of the work through Moses. The people didn't have to do anything. All the signs and all the wonders were done by one man. Finally, Pharaoh says, all right, you can let them go. Through that man, the Red Sea parted. Then he says, if you want to be free, talking to Israel, come and follow me. Is that not exactly a type and shadow of the Lord Jesus Christ? He did all of the work, all the supernatural things. He's the one that came and moved that mountain of spiritual death, crossed over to the other side, says, now, if you want to live, come and follow me. That'll preach, won't it, Lyle? That'll preach, hallelujah. Glory to God. But it was all revelation knowledge like that in the first days. But like Richard was saying, there was something. It wasn't just his wife had this witness about Oklahoma. Something in him was working. But he had it all planned out, see. Well, in February of 1994, now that's quite a while, from December of 1992 till February of 1994, praying in tongues and writing down the revelations, and at that point he did deal with me about a few things, but they were really minor. But on that day in February, I can take you to the mile marker where this happened in Arkansas. It's the Lamar exit off of I-40. We have some people from Arkansas here today. There you go. You know where Lamar is. Going right by that exit. And the Lord said, all right, this is your last day. This is your last trip as a truck driver. When you get back, give your dispatcher 2 weeks' notice. He won't require it of you. I want you in the ministry full time. Now, how difficult are those words to understand? This is not rocket science, you know. This is your last trip. When you get back, give your dispatcher, he means the one that would send me, you know, who I work for, 2 weeks' notice. He won't even require that of you. In other words, he's going to fire me. And I'll be free to serve him full time. Now, see, you didn't tell how strong your knowing was. That's pretty strong, isn't it? I couldn't deny it. I'm telling you, I did not feel led. No, it wasn't like that. I didn't have a vague impression. To my mind, if you were in the cab of that truck, you would have heard it. I don't know for sure if it was audible, but to me, it came from outside of me. Okay? I understood it. Gary, did you obey it? Oh, no, I didn't do that. Because my logical mind had all of these, not questions exactly, but good arguments. Lord, I've heard about these flakes that hear your voice. Quit their job to live by faith. See, with me, really, my stronghold was not laziness. Who can tell you my stronghold was workaholic? I mean, I've always, my whole life, a typical day for me is about 16 hours a day. That's just normal. You know, I mean, no matter what kind of work I was involved in. Real estate, construction, go work and pour concrete all day, come clean up, go out and meet the architects and the customers at night, and then bid the jobs till midnight and start again before dawn the next day. Did it for years. So anyway, my mind started coming up with all these ideas. Now, I knew exactly what the Lord said. Well, yeah, but how am I going to make my car payment? I have bills to pay. You want to call me into the ministry? Question. What ministry would that be, please? That was long before I heard anything about teacher. I didn't know anything. He hadn't said nothing. I felt just very much like Abraham. I want you to leave everything you know and go into a country that I shall show you. I haven't shown it to you yet. Leave, then I shall show it to you. Go to Oklahoma, then I shall. Well, after he died, I think Richard was just real glad his wife had already come to Oklahoma and got the training. You think? Well, did you tell Sue about it? Oh, no. I'm not. You think I'm stupid? Do I have stupid written on my forehead? Well, actually, I should. But because I know her. And if I tell her God said that, I mean, I know exactly what she'd say. So you better obey God. So did I tell her? No. Well, this went on, long story short, for 10 months. And the Lord continued loving me through all of that. I continued to pray. He continued to give me revelation knowledge. But it was really odd. All the questions that I kept asking. How am I going to pay my bills? How are we going to live? How are we going to do this? How are we going to do that? Nobody know. You know? On any subject like that, the silence was deafening, as they say. I mean, he would talk to me about revelation knowledge. I continued to have visions and write revelations, and you know, he'd come mooch on me, you know, I love you, Gary, I know, but why don't you tell me about this? Well, just like Richard said, safety for any sheep is to stay real close right behind the shepherd. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Well, see, the staff, I think, I don't know which one's a rod and which one of them has a crook on it, a little hook at the end. Well, that's if the sheep starts to stray. He can gently reach out and keep you on the right path. But see, the other one, that rod, that's to beat the wolf away. Really. I mean, if you stay with him, if you stay right up close to him, thy rod and thy staff, if you're a sheep behind the shepherd, you better believe it. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. And as long as you stay where he's leading, you're okay. But see, what happens for the sheep, like me and like Richard, what happened to us? No amount. See, it's so, Richard, we had never really talked. See, but you was working hard for the Lord during that whole time, wasn't you? Doing your plan for Jesus. Well, in a way, I was doing the same thing. I mean, it's good to pray. It's good to fast. It's good to do. Well, I wasn't doing much fasting. Let's don't lie. It's good to pray. It's good to pray and meditate the Word, you know. Talk to the Lord in the trucks and write down the revelations, you know. That's all good, but see, there's no substitute for obedience. And he told me what to do, and I wasn't doing it because my logical mind kept me from doing it. Well, what now? The shepherd is going, he has a certain direction for my life, and he's already told me. But instead of following that path, if you can picture the little sheep says, no, I think this path is, safety's over this direction. So what looked like the safe path was taking me farther and farther away from the Lord's perfect will for my life. He can reach a long way. That staff is long. But if you keep on that path long enough, 10 months later, I think what I did, I got myself out there where the wolf is. And boy, the enemy attacked me, tried to take me off the earth. The details aren't important, but it was serious. That very morning, that happened on a Saturday night. Sue didn't know it. Early before dawn that morning, some people found me. I was passed out on a highway again in Arkansas. I'd fallen. Head was busted open. I'd been bleeding. I'd laid on freezing pavement for hours. Hypothermia was starting to set in. They already had me in the hospital. Sue didn't know it. At the service the next morning, the last thing Dave said was, draw your family in close. Forgive everything that breathes. The enemy's about to attack our family, something along that line. When she gets home, the phone rings. And they're letting her know that her husband is in a hospital in Arkansas. She comes, and I'm just in and out of consciousness now. I've had polio in my life. I've already been through cancer before this. I've had other things happen. This was the closest I've ever come to leaving the planet. I was in and out of consciousness. Aaron came down later that day or the next day. And they were letting them stay in the room. And I'd be conscious for a little while, and then I'd go away. And I didn't know this. They told me later. When I'd go unconscious, I'd start praying in tongues loud. And the nurses, to the point the nurses down the hall, they came running in the first few times. They thought, you know, I was delirious or something was wrong. And I think about the second time, Aaron says, no, he's just praying. That's the way he prays. He's okay. He does that all the time. I know now what it was. My spirit, when my soul would lose control, my spirit would begin making intercession for my life. Holy Ghost make an intercession through my spirit to save my life. I come close. Now, Richard, I didn't actually die as far as I know. But when you've been about a breath away from leaving the planet, it changes your perspective, does it not? You just go, I might be wrong. Perhaps my way is not working. Now, just as the, you know, by the way, it was 10 months to the day, the same day, 10 months later, that this happened. Oh, and I was, yes, and Sue was reminding me, geographically, I was on another run through Arkansas within about 30 miles of where the Lord had first spoken that to me anyway. There was a lot of things, you know, he knows I'm not the sharpest knife in the drawer. He was using a lot of things to make sure. Plus, the next day, the day Sue got there, was our wedding anniversary. But none of that is accident. So for the first time that day, I tell Sue what the Lord had told me all those years, all those months earlier. And I said something really profound and wise, something to this effect. You know, I think if I keep disobeying God on this, the devil's going to kill me. And I think it would be in our best interest to obey God. And of course, she's just hearing about it for the first time. And she said, well, yeah. But I was still worried in my mind, though, in the natural. Like moving to Oklahoma made no sense in the natural to Richard. Doing this in the natural made no sense to me. And it goes against all my natural tendencies. I'm a worker. I'm a provider. I'm a pay my bills kind of guy, you know. And this seemed totally opposite of that. What I didn't know is my Lord is a provider. See, the reason he wouldn't, he'll answer me on questions like that today. He wouldn't so much then, because I needed to trust him more than I needed answers. Did you hear that? Abraham trusted the Lord. Go, leave everything you know. Leave Ur of the Chaldees. Leave all your everything. Your thoughts about your own career. Your thoughts about what your life would be like. Come into a land that I shall show you. Well, that's what he had to get me to that place. Boy, we started. Now, he's doing this for a reason. We were just the other day. Okay, so back to the natural for a minute. So, it took a few months. See, that was December 4th, 1994. It took about another 2 months for them, the hospitals. I had to wear a heart monitor and a bunch of things for that before they finally figured out what was wrong with me. And, quote, it was an incurable heart disease. Quote, that's genetic, which is interesting since nobody in my family history on either side has ever had it. But somehow I genetically received it through people that's never had it. And it's incurable. The devil's such a liar. But now it did affect me. I mean, you know, so they put me on this medicine. I don't want to go, I don't think, there's a lot to tell about that. Yes. I'll tell you right now, it's been no bed of roses. In the natural, it's been very difficult. We've had lots. And I don't mean, on the other hand, to tell you that the Lord's not faithful. But I'm telling you, in the natural, it's on the emotions. We've had 1,000 opportunities to quit. More than 1,000. For a lot of reasons. But just the other day, it took them about 2 months. The company I was working for, they put me on like partial salary because I wasn't really driving, but they didn't know what the outcome of all this would be. So they put us on like a quarter of what I'd normally make or something. They didn't pay very much. But the last paycheck that I ever received from them was sometime in the first quarter of 1995. I'd have to go back. Sue says it was March. She was the one who buys the groceries. So it was March of 1995. Well, I'm telling you, from that's a long time, isn't it, Lyle? Let's see, this is 2007, right? So that's what, 12 years? We've never had. See, on the one hand, I'm telling you, day by day, okay, we didn't, when you go to bed at night, it's almost been like this. We didn't die today financially. Surely tomorrow we will die. I mean, that's the way it's almost looked. But then just the other day, we was having to get something together for tax purposes or something. And I got to thinking, you know, right on the other hand, we've been full time for 12 years. And we're still alive. And our voice is still being, you know, he's magnified our voice where we're being heard because of the internet and because of the DVD that goes around the world and because of all those things. He's done exactly what he said. We have every reason. We are so blessed. We're healthy. We're still married. Glory to God. Hallelujah. He's blessed us with, you know, all three of our daughters work in the ministry with us. He's blessed us with the best grandsons. I know you think you have the best ones, but really we do. We have the best grandsons and the best son-in-laws, best granddaughters. We're blessed. And in the natural, if I could revert back right now and get scared. If I start thinking in the natural about next week. Because in the natural, we don't know where anything's going to come from. But right on the other hand, 12 years of him proving himself faithful is pretty good, don't you think? I think if he brought us for 12, he'll take us the rest of the way. Now, the reason he's not specifically maybe calling you to go full time and that kind of thing, you know. But the message is this. There is no substitute for obedience. Whatever he's been dealing with you about. And it could be anything. It could be anything. Yeah. Every time I try and reach for my Bible, I hear a real plain, "Don't you do it." As a teacher, it's easy for me. I can get in the Bible. I can teach for hours and hours. And he knows that. But he's got something to say to you, see. So this is one of those times, really, you're receiving the present hour mind of the Christ. He's just using some testimonies. Okay. Oh, wait, it's your turn. You think it's easy? You come up here and hear God, you know? Hallelujah. Boy, I don't even know how to say that, Lord. I'll get in trouble. I'll tell you another thing. What I'm hearing is this. There's no substitute for the message. He's not looking for your good works apart from it. He didn't bring you here to hear it and ignore it. He didn't bring you here to hear it, be able to teach it, and still not do it. I was so holy, quote, in the early days. Now, not in 1992, we're talking about in 1980. So in love with Jesus, totally born again, totally Spirit-filled, about as mature as a three-day-old baby. Now, do we love our little babies? Boy, do we love them. You know what babies are good at? Making messes. And I had a call. I knew I had a call on my life, but I was so immature. God, I hate to even tell this part. It's embarrassing. There was a period of time where I felt like my wife was really just holding me back. And we hear that all the time from people. But I was like that. And, I mean, good Lord. Richard, he didn't make you do this part. Maybe it never happened. I don't mean that it did. I'm just, no, really. And I couldn't hear God hardly at all, to be honest with you. I'm talking about in those early days. because I didn't have this message. I know what it is to be born again and spirit-filled and have and understand faith, but have very little leadership of the Holy Ghost. I lived that way for 12 years. And God used us. He did. He used us in the prisons. He used us to help people get saved. People got born again. People got healed. All kinds of nice things. It's really good things happened. But it was primarily still all a mercy thing. There was very little leadership of the Holy Spirit. We were doing basically what we wanted to do, what we thought was right to do. And then He was blessing that. All that He could, you know. That's like a 30-fold walk to me now. Okay? And I was so immature in those days, and I thought I had it all together. And that Sue, she just didn't want to go to church with me. Not all the time. She didn't want to do this, and she didn't want to do that. And I didn't know it was the devil. But thoughts in my mind is like, yep, she's just going to hold you back. What you need is we've heard all kinds of. One of the ones that really got me one time. Now this is a quote. I'm making fun of this because it's a revelation from the devil. But this person thought it was a revelation from God. This person told us that, well, the Lord showed me that my wife is not the real rib that He intended for me. He's going to remove that rib and replace it with this nice looking rib over here. Yeah. You know, I'm trying not to punch the guy, you know. I hope he's not in this room. That was a long time ago. A long, many, 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 many years ago. Okay, wasn't anybody that I know in here. Okay. Now see, because, and I know everybody in here is not married, but listen, it took a while for, come up here, baby. Come up here. See, God says He's going to take the two. He says, I'm going to take two, and I'm going to make one. Now, if she's praying and meditating the Word, and I'm praying and meditating the Word, now let's see. God's going to tell her to walk that way, and He's going to tell me to walk this way? See, we even had to practice that on our giving when we started finding out that the Lord really talked to you and cooperate with you in your giving. We made an agreement because we knew this was good training for us, because we finally come to the mature, wonderful revelation, duh, He's not going to tell her one thing and tell me the opposite. We're a different thing. So we thought, well, giving is something, see, I'm an engineer by training, giving is something quantifiable. And if He really has a voice, if He's really real and has a voice, then at offering time, He's not going to tell her one thing, tell me something different. So we took that as being good training ground, didn't we?
Yes.
You know? So we just kind of made this agreement ahead of time, say, all right, now, when it comes time for the offering, you listen, and I'll listen. And then we'll tell each other, what'd you hear? And we'll make this agreement ahead of time. If one of us heard a larger amount than the other one, we're going to give the larger amount. Because we felt like that would be an insulation against greed. Okay?
And we felt we needed that.
And we needed that, you know. So in the beginning, most of the time we heard different amounts. Sometimes we would hear the same, but she might hear, you know, $50. She's really the more generous one of the two of us. She might hear $50 and go, oh no, he's saying 10. Saying 10. But because of the agreement we made, and we'd give the 50. And that went on for a year, maybe, or six months,
was,
a long time.
That, yeah.
Longer than a year, maybe 2 years. But see, I think a big part of people just give up. If it doesn't happen quick, I'm not going to do it. I've been confessing this scripture for 5 days. I don't have my miracle. It must not be so. Oh, give me a break. You didn't get how you are in 5 days.
There you go.
Those strongholds didn't get built in 5 days now.
All the time that He was teaching us how to hear His voice when it came to giving, He was teaching us also about giving and how to obey His instructions, and also giving us instructions concerning His word and confession that would demolish the strongholds
yeah.
that we had for all of our lives concerning giving and
everything.
The sowing and reaping doctrine that we've had before, that and relied heavily on that.
If you turn that way, I got to walk with you.
Sorry.
Well, anyway, it took, I don't know how long, but after about a year and a half, maybe 2 years, and weekly, I mean, you know, there's two services at least a week, you know, every service we're doing this. We got to where, what'd you hear? $50. What'd you hear? $50. High five. Yeah. You know, and it got to be almost all the time. Then it got to be pretty well all the time until that one time she missed it when God said, give this really big amount. I knew that. No, I'm just teasing. The point is this. Now, we're coming into this times really of obedience. This picture is important, you married people. Come on. Come on, get real. He's not telling one of you something and the other one the opposite.
If you're married, you're called to one ministry in Him with two different manifestations. It's always one ministry in Him with two different manifestations.
That's right. That's right. She'll never teach like I do. I listened to her Saturday, the one that I listened to it afterwards. Can my wife teach? But it's totally different than the way I do, see. All right. We're coming into that time, people. Now, if you're single, really you've got it a little easier, I think. Whatever he's been dealing with, when it comes to obedience, do what he's telling you. Well, Paul, listen, even if you think that, read what Paul wrote to the Corinthians. Read what Paul wrote. He said, because of the times that we're in now, it'd really be easier if you stayed single. So you got to be really kingdom-minded to start thinking like that. But what I'm saying is, listen, when there's two of you, for sure you need to pray together. And you need to just have the realization, if the two of you aren't in agreement yet, you need to pray more. He's not telling you two different things. And he'll get it across to you. God's smarter than you are dumb. Give my wife a hand, please. Glory to God. See, I'm not looking at anybody. There's just a little bit of that thing that y'all were having fun at my expense about how I was so holy and it was my wife. Instead of complaining about your spouse, you better start confessing over your spouse. And humble yourself and pray. And if you can pray together, great. If you can't, pray separately. In any event, the Holy Spirit is going to pray God's perfect will for your house, for your life, for your family, for your children, for your ministry. There is no substitute for obedience. And I'll be telling you something, there is no substitute for this message. There's no substitute. This is God's method for maturing His children. I'm going to say that again. This message, and what I mean by that, it's not just the praying in tongues part. That's part of it. It's not just learn how to meditate the Word in whole subjects. That's part of it. It's not just fasting. That's part of it. It's not just worship. That's part of it. It's this message. This is God's plan for taking babies that make messes and I'm growing them up to where they can hear the voice of their Lord and be about our Father's business on planet Earth. We got a world that needs saving. I read a report this week about some martyrs in Turkey. I don't know how many of you read about that. These young men that thought they were doing service for God, just like Jesus prophesied. Young men that thought they were doing service for God kidnapped these ministers, Christian ministers, tortured them for 3.5 hours. Didn't just kill them, tortured them. One of them had over 100 stab wounds in him. The wife, when they interviewed one of the wives, she said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And that was broadcast out over the airwaves. And now the testimony is, that one woman with that one sentence is having more of an effect on Turkey than 1,000 years of preaching. They just can't conceive. It's, you know, it's a blood revenge mentality there. When I read things like that, you know, we have it so easy here. We're so blessed in this country. We don't have any idea what it is to suffer for the name of Christ like that. To take your life in your hands for sharing Jesus with a lost person. I read things like that and wonder if I'm even saved. I am. We got a whole world that's lost. We've got to learn obedience. Whether it makes sense to your natural mind, whether it doesn't make sense to your natural mind. Wanting to get better is not the answer. Well, I want to be a better Christian. You'll be wanting the next time I see you. Are you praying? Well, I understand prayer. I like to talk about prayer. I'm not talking about that. Are you praying? Are you doing? Okay, yes, sir. And it's not just that. I want to close because I don't want to get over into my message for you. It's not just about doing the message. Boy, and I'm trying not to look at anybody. Don't understand, he's preaching to everybody. Especially him. No, he's preaching. There's just no such thing. There's no such thing as obedience without obedience. I know that's deep calleth unto deep. And there's nothing you can substitute for it. He has a plan for your life. Some of you, he's been dealing with decisions maybe longer than 10 months. Certain things. Could be anything. Could be anything. Only you and the Holy Ghost knows what they are. Trust him. Let us give our testimony. Richard is really glad that he's obeyed God and moved to Oklahoma. Sue and I are really glad, even though we could tell you horror stories. We're really glad we obeyed God 12 years ago. And it's been a progressive obedience too. Whatever it is he's been dealing with you about, you need to start doing that. You need to start doing that. Trust him. When you get to that land that you know nothing about, your Lord will be there. He will be there. Did you get anything out of that? Praise God. Hallelujah. 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 Give the Lord a hand. It's not me. It's the Lord. Hallelujah.